Today is the 22nd Sunday after the Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and in that in my bands, and in the defense and confirmations of the gospel, you are partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The gospel for the Mass today is taken from the gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulting among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a denarius, and Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we see in the Gospel, of course, the famous words of our Lord, render therefore the things that are Caesar's to Caesar and the things to God that are God's. It is important for us to understand and to realize that we are men and women who are both natural citizens of this world and also that we are members of the mystic body of Christ. And that we have obligations in both. And those obligations do bind. Some people have the idea that they don't have these obligations, that somehow they're exempt from these obligations, that somehow they can live in a life that's free from these requirements. And that's not true. We are such that we have obligations. And our Lord himself is witness to that. On the natural level, there's a certain natural order that's meant to be. There's a certain natural order and a certain obligation that we have towards society. We are such that we benefit from what is provided, and we owe certain things because of that. We aren't living on an island like Robinson Crusoe and have to figure out how to survive. Things are provided for us, and we need to, of course, then be such that we contribute towards that end. There is a certain natural order, despite all of the corruption, despite all of the difficulties, despite all of the things that go on that are, of course, very much against God's law. But there's still a certain order that still exists. And to the extent that it exists, and to the extent that it follows the natural law, we are obliged then to be such that we are subject to it. Our Lord is, of course, a prime example of that. There are many things that were not right at the time of our Lord. But nevertheless, our Lord showed respect to civil authorities. Some of the most obvious are when our Lord has to deal at the time of the Passion. Pilate was the lawful authority, and he spoke to Pilate. He acknowledged that Pilate had a certain authority from God, and that as such, it had to be respected. We see Pilate wavering under the pressure that's presented, that he's faced with. He is not a totally corrupt man, and that's why our Lord does speak to him. If you notice, he doesn't speak to Herod at all. He speaks to Pilate. And Pilate wants to somehow do something to release our Lord because he realizes his innocence. But of course, the pressure from the Jews is for him to be condemned. And so we see that our Lord has a respect for Pilate, and he acknowledges, as I say, that he has that authority from God, and he speaks to him in a very measured way. We also see that our Lord has respect for the Jewish law, the laws that govern the Jewish people, and that he would go to the temple in order to spend time there at the place where the Jewish people of the Old Testament worship. He was circumcised according to the law. He was presented at the time of the purification according to the law. He went, as I say, on pilgrimage to Jerusalem with his parents. He taught in the temple. He was such that he understood very well what the Jewish law was all about, being a Jew himself and a very devout Jew. He respected the law, and of course, nevertheless, when there were certain things that were problems with the law, being abused, then he brought it to light. And of course, he knew that he was the fulfillment of the law, that he was the one who was the Messiah, and that he came to bring things to their completion, which were predicted in the Old Testament, and to bring forth a New Testament. He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, he said. And so we see our Lord in this respect trying to fulfill the law as best as he could, and having a respect for the law and having a respect for those who are in authority to the extent that they upheld the law. He didn't just discard it and say, you men are corrupt, so therefore I don't need to listen to anything. I don't have to follow the law. I'm free. There were people in the world that were corrupt. He didn't say that I can do what I want because of the fact that the morality in the civil society was just so corrupt. I don't have to do anything that they say. He had respect for that. We ourselves are living in a time where there are certain problems in the world, in civil society. Nevertheless, we have to follow the laws. We have to follow the laws to the extent that they are in agreement with the natural law, with God's law. We have no choice in the matter. This is what God wants. We can't just say, but we have political officials that are corrupt, therefore we're exempt from the law, we can do whatever we want. No, we cannot. We keep the law as it's meant to be kept, as God wants us to keep it, to the best of our ability. We have become an example to others also as the way we keep the law. We follow the laws. Same thing with regard to the difficulties in the church. We just mentioned that we have some terrible scandals going on, sins committed by those in the highest office against the first commandment. Nevertheless, we show an authority to those who are in charge. We show respect. We follow what we're told to do to the extent that we can, in the extent that what we're allowed to do. One of the best examples, I think, in more recent times being, you know, times when civil society was being corrupt and also there was an attack on the church, was with St. Thomas More. St. Thomas More was a man who was very educated. He was a lawyer. And King Henry VIII wanted him more than anything to be able to sign the document that agreed with his marital goings-ons. And St. Thomas More would not. He would not. And of course, he found himself in disfavor with the king. And he ended up being martyred for it. But he tried to follow the laws as best as he could. He tried not to be such that he was openly shown to have a disdain for the law. He had a respect for the law. He had a respect for those who were the lawgivers. But there are certain things when it came to what he had to do with regard to his convictions, he could not compromise. And so he shows us what we have to do. He, being very educated in law, knew what he had to do. And he did it. He did it. So on this day when we see our Lord with those who come to him, the disciples of the Pharisees, Herodians, they come to try to trap him. He makes the distinction that we have to provide the things that we owe to God, the things we owe to those in civil government, to that civil government. We also need very much to pray for those officials, to pray for the officials in the hierarchy, to pray for those who are in civil power. They need our prayers. We need to offer many sacrifices for them. We need to, of course, be faithful in being citizens both in the civil society and also to be members of the church. Many of the problems of today are due to the fact that people are not faithful to the things that need to do with regard to civil society, nor the things that they have to do with regard to the Catholic Church. It's a sad state of affairs. But we, on our part, then need to make sure that we do our part. We go and are as faithful as we possibly can in our obligations. And we pray for, as I say, we pray for these officials. We pray for the church. We pray for our country. It's the proper thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. And we need to do that. If we ever want to hope to get out of these terrible situations, we have to do so. We are bound to do so. And so let us renew our efforts to have that respect, to pray for those who are in need of prayer, those who are our officials, civil and religious, so that they make the right decisions, that they guide us properly, that they lead us as we need to be led, so that it will be helpful not only to ourselves, but also to those who are our fellow citizens and who are fellow members of the church. We need to do so because it will be a help not only to others, but also a help to ourselves. And so we must consider this, we must think about this, we must be resolved to do this so as to work towards God's kingdom, not only God's kingdom in heaven, but also the furtherance of God's kingdom here on earth as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.